65. Corey Larson, firefighter paramedic for Ogden City. There are many times when families are affected by this, and it's not always the homeless person or the stressed out dad, or they can be the mom at home, and they can have three kids. They could have regular family life like anybody else and just not be able to deal with something quite well at the moment. And those to me happen a lot. I see those more than I thought I would. It still shocks me sometimes when I'm like, oh, your life seems so good. Why are you having this problem? And you just realize that everybody has something that ends up happening to them or something that they have to deal with. And those problems aren't always easily dealt with. And sometimes that's what they turn to.
In 2015, there were 410 opioid-related deaths in Utah. If you look at a map of hotspots in the state where the opioid epidemic has hit the hardest, downtown Ogden is a high-risk zone. It ranks first in overdose deaths and in the top 10 for emergency room encounters. First responders, like Corey Larson, are busy here, and naloxone is a standard tool in their emergency kits. That's because naloxone, or Narcan, is a drug that works by blocking the brain's opioid receptors. This helps reverse an overdose from both prescription and illicit opioids by allowing a person's depressed respiratory system to recover. Basically, naloxone allows people to start breathing again.
It's really hard when you wake up a 22-year-old kid and try to explain to him that he's just about died. And he's upset, he's crying, he's angry. It's not a pleasant thing to try to explain to them, like, this is gonna kill you eventually. And there's much more. I mean, my training is so minimal with mental health that when somebody's having a problem, like an addiction issue, that's something that gets very deep. So what I try to do is I try to just know that I don't think it's weird what has happened, that it's not uncommon to overdose, but I try to express the gravity of the situation. A lot of times parents ask us, what are we doing wrong, or what can we do? And in all honesty, I don't have an answer for them.
Larson feels there's a gap between what first responders are equipped to do for people trapped in a cycle of addiction and what they need to break out of it. He suggests it may be an opportunity lost when paramedics like him revive individuals from an opioid overdose without having information on hand to provide them or their loved ones with about potential treatment and recovery services.
For me, if there is programs out there, I would love the education on it. I would love to be able to distribute that information while I've got them. Same with any service that we have, mental health or long-term care. We're more than willing to help in any way we can. We want to help, but an ambulance is really a poor substitute for a doctor's office or a psychiatrist, you know, and sometimes that's the only health care these people have. We go and we try to do the best we can, and we treat them with respect, and we talk to them about their problems, but in the end, we just aren't who they need.
Larson admits this is typically outside the scope of what first responders are on scene to do in an emergency. When they're called, they're there to try and save a life, and this is where naloxone helps. Since 2014, Utah legislators have passed a series of laws that expand naloxone access to non-medical personnel and encourage them to use it if they encounter someone experiencing an opioid overdose. For pediatrician Jennifer Plum, this is an important first step in battling the state's opioid crisis.
We are the first to admit that this is not by any means the solution to this crisis, but it is the initial point of keeping people alive while we get better at dealing with this addiction and opiate scenario that's happening nationwide.
Plum co-founded the nonprofit Utah Naloxone with her brother to make naloxone rescue kits widely available to people across the state and to train community members how to administer it. This project is deeply personal for them. The Plums know what it's like to lose a sibling to an overdose.
Anyone who struggles with substance use disorder, one of the hardest things for them is not feeling like they matter. And I went through a lot of that with my brother when he was trying to get sober and through recovery. I wish that there were less Andys. I don't want another family to plan a funeral this weekend.
While naloxone is not a new drug, it's been around since the 1970s. Until recently, it was primarily only carried by first responders in Utah. But with hundreds of people dying each year from opioid overdoses, the Plums wanted to get this powerful antidote into the hands of people whose loved ones are at risk. Because the thing about naloxone is, it only works if you use it.
It's not a pill, so it's not something that could accidentally be, you know, pulled off of something. It's either an intranasal spray or an injection. It's really one of the most amazing substances out there. There are no ill effects if someone gets naloxone and they're not experiencing an opiate overdose.
Plum has used naloxone herself many times in the emergency room at Primary Children's Hospital. That's where she sees the trickle-down effect of the state's opioid problem. During one shift, 4 children under the age of 5 were brought in after overdosing on prescription opioids they ingested in their homes.
Fortunately, all of those children were revived with naloxone, and all of them survived, and all of them went home, you best believe, with their families with a naloxone kit in hand, because, you know, these substances are not going away. And so the best thing we can do is try to educate people about having them safely in home and also being prepared for a worst-case scenario, because they happen.
Plum says that we need to curb society's appetite for prescription painkillers and provide support to opioid-dependent people by connecting them to effective treatment. In the interim, naloxone can help save lives.
Get this into people's homes and into people's hands. I hope that as our state moves forward, we don't just buy naloxone for the sake of buying naloxone, but we actually buy naloxone and get it out into the hands of end users. That's where lives are saved. That's where folks who may not have had 911 called for them get their overdose reversed. And that's where these truly impacting life-saving stories will happen.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.
This UPR original series is brought to you in part by the Association for Utah Community Health, providing training and technical assistance to health centers and affiliates across Utah. More information available online at auch.org.